Black Rifle Coffee Company, together with the Boot Campaign, are on a mission to raise $1 million to change the lives of veterans. Now through the end of the year, when you grab a can of ready-to-drink coffee, you can help contribute to making this massive donation possible. The Boot Campaign is one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country, working tirelessly to provide life-changing aid and benefits to service members and their families. Black Rifle Ready-to-Drink Coffee is available in several great-tasting flavors at blackriflecoffee.com/Dana or at convenience stores nationwide. Whether it's the berry mocha, vanilla bomb, or espresso salted caramel, every can helps. Fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community, and with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
I certainly understand that some have chosen to attack the integrity of the Justice Department and its components and its employees by claiming that we do not treat like cases alike. This constitutes an attack on an institution that is essential to American democracy and essential to the safety of the American people.
Hey, today is the day the Lord has made, and these are the times through which God has decided we shall live. And it's Todd Herman in for Dana on The Dana Show. And that's the that's a paper bully. His name is Merrick Garland. Title is Attorney General. The reality is he's a paper bully. And the reality is that this has become so utterly clear as you study, or not even study, as you spend any time at all looking at how the DOJ has treated the case of Hunter Biden in every possible regard. Here's a key number for you. And this comes from a former U.S. attorney. His name is Brent L. Tolman. He decided to go look at 189,000 firearm possession cases by the DOJ and not a single diversion. In all those instances, there was not a single diversion. Hunter Biden has been given a diversion. In fact, he writes, among all cases prosecuted by the DOJ, less than 1% were resolved by diversion. That's all cases. The 189,000 was firearm possession cases. There is no argument to be made that Hunter Biden did not receive special treatment. But it goes far beyond Hunter Biden. It delves straight into election rigging. Because the whole effort in this was to protect the guy who's become the figurehead Biden installed after a process they bragged about. They bragged about rigging the election. Now, you can move on from ballots, and I'm not someone who's moved on. When you don't have voter ID, when you don't have actual signature verification, you don't have a baseline. You don't have the baseline data you need to say the election is secure because you don't want that data. But put that aside. The rigging of the election was the hiding of information on that laptop, which shows and proves, in my judgment, absolutely proves that Joe Biden was selling the United States of America, just as Hillary Clinton was selling the United States of America. The question is, what did they sell? That is a vitally important question, because all of a sudden it became a bipartisan thing in the United States that we have to be completely committed to borders, language, sovereignty. Well, not here. Not here. Not in Taiwan. No, just in Ukraine. At the cost of what's going to turn out to be hundreds of billions of dollars and, God forbid, more American lives. So this is a key divorce, not just in terms of politics, and we'll get to that, but also in the direction of the country. Do we actually take action when it's proven that the president or the guy who's the figurehead is sold? We want to know what he sold. What is he doing that's actually policy, and what is he doing that's actually product, because that's all they had to sell. President Trump was speaking to a room of big fans, and let's admit that, big fans of his, at Faith and Freedom. And he read this Biden, this Hunter Biden message to the crowd here in clip number one.
A very respected IRS whistleblower used to be very much, you remember when the Democrats used to love whistleblowers? They don't like the whistleblowers now. Revealed that Crooked Joe sat in a room while his son Hunter messaged a Chinese Communist Party official and said to this Chinese Party official, I quote, I am sitting here with my father, and we would like to understand why the commitment made has not been fulfilled. This is cash he's talking about.
Yeah.
Tell the director that I would like to resolve this now before it gets out of hand. And now means right now. It means tonight. You believe this? I didn't know he was that tough. And if I get a call or a text from anyone involved in this other than you, Zhang or the chairman, I will make certain that between the man sitting next to me, my father, right next to me, Pop, hi Pop, and every person he knows, you will regret not following my direction.
And he went on to say in that, Hunter, paraphrasing, that his kindness is sometimes taken for weakness, and all too often he finds himself standing over the other person saying, I told you so, I warned you, standing over the other person. I mean, that's mob talk. Now, we know that the Democrats have mob roots. Saul Alinsky got his tricks from the mob, and then, of course, dedicated his first book to Lucifer. So those are two great influences. What's beginning to happen, and what is so fascinating to watch, is the Mockingbird media is all of a sudden standing with James Rosen at Newsmax. So Rosen and others, and really led by Rosen, I think, began asking about this with Scott Kirby and Spokeslayer version 3.0, KGP, and she utterly lost control of the room. We'll get into that later. But when he asked, Rosen asked Kirby about Joe Biden being in the room during all this, listen to how Kirby, Scott Kirby with the State Department, how he responds to this in clip number two.
If I get a call or text from anyone involved in this other than you, Zhang, or the chairman, I will make certain that between the man sitting next to me and every person he knows and my ability to forever hold a grudge, that you will regret not following my direction. I am sitting here waiting for the call with my father, unquote. So just a couple of questions about this. First, does this not undermine the president's claim during the 2020 campaign and the reaffirmations of that claim by his two press secretaries since then, that he never once discussed his son's overseas business dealings with him?
No, and I'm not going to comment further on this.
Now, there are some key moments in this because the interchange went on and on and on, and Kirby was desperate to get out of this, showed frustration because James Rosen said, look, this is my time to ask questions. And Kirby's response to this was, yeah, you get more time than I'd want you to have, effectively. There's others, and this is detailed DC stuff, very inside DC stuff, but KGP, the Spokeslayer 3.0, who is apparently a woman. I don't know how that's determined. I've not been able to figure that out. I don't know what a woman is. I walk around looking and I say, I've heard there's such a thing as women. I don't know what they are. I thought I was married to one, but now I don't know. I asked my wife, prove it. Prove you're a woman. So she is apparently a woman and identifies as a black woman, has her job because she's same-sex attracted and all these things. Many, many box checked. And so stand back because she's BIPOC and therefore much more virtuous than all of us. She, in answering questions, and we'll play this later in the show, she said something very important. One of reporters asked her, do you intend to talk to Joe Biden about this? And KGP said no. That's called plausible deniability. It's called not wanting to be able to answer the question, but it's called something else. Everybody in DC at positions like this has often advice of counsel. And there's independent counsel. You've got the counsel for Biden and his meth-dealing son, and they have counsel. They've got independent. They've got White House counsel. There's counsel within the communications office. There's lawyers there. And the lawyers will not be shy about saying, you are not going to want a piece of this. You're not going to want to be in these meetings. You're not going to want to know anything about this, because if you know something about this, you can be deposed about your role in this. And I don't think anyone wants to get near this. There's talk, and Ted Cruz, I think, was first out of the gate on this, wants to impeach Biden or look into impeaching him over this. Why? If this is not impeachment grounds, there is no such thing as impeachment grounds. Because we cannot have any solid knowledge about what Biden's doing because it's policy or product. NBC News reported on this stuff. And first of all, God bless NBC News for even reporting it. Thank you, NBC News. But they said that this was a discussion about a business proposal. What was the proposal? Exactly what was proposed? What's worth $5 million? And that's just one payment. There's also this, and it goes back to Merrick Garland attempting to do the narcissist trick, which is to deny, well, we didn't do that, and then to exchange the roles. Now he's the victim. All of a sudden, he's the victim, so you deny, you accuse. No, you did this. You reverse the role of victim and perpetrator. So now Merrick Garland is saying, I am costing Americans' lives. I am compromising the safety of the American people by questioning the Department of Justice. That is not the sign of a strong man. It's a sign of a narcissist and a paper bully, but it's not the sign of a strong man. In this investigation, as it were, because it's not one, the DOJ told the IRS not to interview Joe Biden's grandchildren to avoid hot water. Now, why would you want to interview the grandkids? Because in the web of LLCs that are only created to shelter monies as pass-through entities to hide monies and to launder monies, that's the only reason you would have such a web of, I think it's 28 LLCs. Grandkids got paid off. Why? Because it's a way to launder the money further. But they were told not to do that. Then there's this. One of the whistleblowers said this. Throughout all this time, we're having biweekly meetings. At these biweekly meetings, I'm continually bringing up that we need to go overt, meaning they need to announce this investigation. There came a point in time to where there were some bank reports out there that were going to get released, and they were going to include potentially the names of the investigators from the IRS and the FBI who received those bank reports. So with that being released in the public, we're like, it's going to our investigation, so we need to come out and go overt with this tax case. And I remember, there were always times to where we were always on impending election cycle. It was always the election being brought up. That is election rigging. That is rigging the minds of Americans. That is rigging the media. And on whose behalf? You know what the bigger question is about this? Who else got paid? Who else got paid? Who's on the take now? This is Todd Herman in for Dana Lash on The Dana Show. We'll come back with the Quick Five.
What is the fastest growing international crime network that the world has ever seen? It's already passed the illegal arms trade, and soon it will pass the drug trade. Because someone can sell a bag of cocaine one time, but they can sell a child 5 to 10 times per day. On July 4th, witness the gripping reality of true heroism in the film Sound of Freedom. From Angel Studios, the force behind His Only Son and The Chosen, comes an extraordinary true story of courage and redemption. Experience the spirit of hope and the power of human resilience. The goal is for 2 million people to get into theaters the week of July 4th and remember the 2 million children who are trafficked every year. Visit angel.com/freedom. That's angel.com/freedom. Buying tickets in advance sends an important message. To show your support, purchase tickets for yourself or pay it forward so they can pack theaters the week of July 4th. Visit angel.com/freedom.
The Watchdog on Wall Street podcast with Chris Markowski. Every day, Chris helps unpack the connection between politics and the economy and how it affects your wallet. If you're using one credit card to pay off another credit card, are you really getting rid of your debt? Add that to spending even more of your tax dollars that they don't have. That's what the federal government got from this debt deal. Any reason why another deal needs to be made in the presidential election cycle? Whether it's happening in D.C. or down on Wall Street, it's affecting you financially. Be informed. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast with Chris Markowski on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
It's Todd Herman in for Dana Lash. I would also add, you got to subscribe to Chapter and Verse. It's Dana's newsletter and Substack. You know, she started professional life as a writer. She's a fantastic writer. And it's something that you can see her in a bit of a different form, a little longer form. Also, we get complaints from time to time. And I guess those, I shouldn't admit this, but there are people who sometimes want to steal the Quick Five. And it's a little disturbing because they'll try to break into the station. There's many people take an effort to try to record it and then make it their own. Don't do it. Don't do it. Dana invented this and will now run the Quick Five.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Keith Ellison is an AG of sorts and a deeply, deeply conflicted and corrupt man. Happy to have his picture taken with the Antifa handbook, you know, because it's important as an AG that you know how to go up and destroy buildings and property and threaten people into doing your political bidding. He's gotten together with some other so-called AGs. And it's an area of big concern. Now, in key states, you have major gang violence. You've got major overdose deaths. In a lot of these states, that's the case. But that's the case. But they've taken to a different target. Ha ha, got it? Yeah, they've actually sent emails, letters, to target the retailer, telling them to get the binders back into the stores and the packers. And, of course, you know what those are, right? Those are the things that allow little kids to pretend to be the opposite sex. And in so doing, incidentally, when little girls bind their breasts, it causes permanent tissue damage. Also, it doesn't allow them to grow into their bodies. But they say to take this stuff out is bullying, because, of course, it can't be found anywhere else, like on Amazon.com, where you can find 10,000 of these, including packers for little infant babies who may want to pretend to have a penis, female babies, because, of course, that's on their mind. Now, I want you to understand, this is not, it is not happening in schools. How do I know this? Because Stephanie Ruhle on MSNBC says it's not happening in schools in clip number 4.
Ways that parents feel really welcomed to say what they need to say.
But in order to do that, you have to have a basis of facts. How much is misinformation fueling things, right? The anecdotal thing, we're parents, that we hear schools have litter boxes for kids, or teachers are forcing lower school kids to choose pronouns. How much is that fueling the chaos when those things aren't even true?
Well, it happens, as we'll talk about later in the show, that parents are actually being told, don't you dare tell kids they're not cats. That's clearly happening. There's a USA Today columnist named Nancy Armour, and here's how she views medals and scholarships being stolen from women by men who pretend to be women. She writes, there's a growing cottage industry of women using so-called transgender athletes to become right-wing media celebrities. And she's responding to a tweet about Riley Gaines. So Riley Gaines wrote back and said, right wing, I'd love to be interviewed by you, Nancy, anytime, anywhere. You know where to find me, as does CNN, MSNBC, and every other left-leaning outlet that has failed to reach out and consider the perspective of those who are actually being affected by this. She also, by the way, Riley Gaines in Congress, and we'll get to this tomorrow. I forgot to pull the sound clip. She was talking in discussion with Senator Kennedy, and she was confronting a gender-jacking professor, Riley Gaines. And that professor claims that men cannot beat Venus or Serena Williams in tennis. Riley Gaines was asked by Senator Kennedy, what's your view? She said both those women have lost to the 203rd ranked man. And she correctly pointed out they're phenoms for women. But in a general case, you can't make an argument that men don't have physical advantages. That didn't stop this. And the nation's first so-called transgender office holder, a man named Stacey Marie Lawton, has been arrested for having a whole bunch of child porn on his computer. But apparently, according to the media reports and police reports, it wasn't just for his own use. He was distributing it. Now, not everybody who has gender dysphoria does this, but a lot of people with gender dysphoria do. There is a very clear line between overuse of pornography, particularly something called sissy porn, and men wanting to take on the role and pretend to be women. It's a sick thing. It's a mental illness. But to look at a guy like that and say, okay, so he's confused and thinks he's a woman, but man, he'd make a good state rep. No, I disagree. If you're confused about the very basis of who you are in any objective sense, I don't know how you can be objective about anything else. There was an attack. A man was attacked, just brutally attacked, Los Angeles, by a pregnant woman. He said it was a homophobic attack. Well, it turns out, no. In fact, he attacked himself. His name is Scott Rowan, according to Legal Insurrection. Another hoax attack. It's Todd Herman in for Dana Loesch on The Dana Show.
When you see judicial rot running rampant and American companies embracing insanity and wokery, you got to fight back, starting with the way that we spend our money. So for years, big mobile companies have dumped millions into leftist causes, and you know, we just kind of took it because another option didn't exist. Well, now one does. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they offer dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the best possible service in your area without the woke propaganda. propaganda. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call them at 878-PATRIOT and get free activation today with offer code DANA. Ask about their coverage guarantee as well. PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Hey, it's Todd Herman in for Dana on The Dana Show. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. It took me a while to buy into podcasting. I do a now, and maybe this is why I bought it, because it was a selfish need. I do 2.5 hours of content every weekday. You can get that at thetoddhermanshow.com. And it is a fantastic way to enjoy a show like Dana's, because you never miss a show like Dana's, right, when you're in that circumstance. Coming up, I'm going to share with you something from my podcast. It is, this is being seen as something that affects just quote, just farmers. Farmers grow food for the nation. So, A, it doesn't affect just farmers, it affects us. There is a very coordinated, unbelievably well-funded drive to use eminent domain to steal farmland. And there's responsible ways to use eminent domain when you are going to do, you're going to take land. You follow roads or power lines. That's not what they're doing. They're slicing up 4- and 5-generation farms, and you won't believe why. It's to ship carbon dioxide, to ship it. This is in 5-6 states, and the lead singer of U2 is backing this, and a lot of other leftists. So we'll talk about that, and you'll hear from a state rep who's trying to fight this, as Governor Kristi Noem says nothing about it at all. And she ran on property rights, and she's silent on this. Joe Biden is, he had a silent act, and this is so planned out. There's you guys have ever read about the power of iconography, the power of image? I mean, it's a little bit weird to talk about on radio because it's an audio medium, but the walk that Hunter and Joe did on the Marine One, that's not a mistake. It's not unplanned, nor was Hunter's attendance at the state dinner. Nor was the fact that Merrick Garland, who is supposedly been running an investigation into Hunter Biden, being there. None of that's accidental. They all know those images are going to get out. And those images are the products right now, because it's twofold. One is to say, we don't care. Now, there's someone else watching all this, and I constantly want to remind people like Joe Biden and Hunter Biden that God happens to be watching all this. And if all this stuff is true, and I think it is, God's pretty clear. You don't lord your power over those you've been given the opportunity to steward. You don't do that. You don't act like gods. You don't put your fingers on the scale. You don't steal. You don't lie. I cannot imagine, and I can't speak for God. I can read his word, but I don't think he's any more thrilled about those images than we are. Particularly since Hunter Biden, in addition to being a money pimp for his father, appears to be a sex addict that likes to take advantage of younger girls. Those images also serve this purpose. It's marketing. They're showing their clients, we're fine. No one's going to come and get us. This is an annoying fact in relation to the Mockingbird media, but it's also an instructive fact. If you look at what they accuse President Trump of being, and President Trump has his own challenges. We're grown-ups. We can admit this. President Trump is sometimes President Trump's worst enemy. But all the things they accuse Trump of being, none of which were true, are absolutely true about Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. And sometimes I wonder, since that oppo, it was black oppo, it was, you know, illegally given to the FBI and they lied to the FISA court, that was designed by Hillary Clinton. They're so crafty. Accuse your opponent of that which you're doing. So accuse your opponent of being that which you are, a conflicted corruptocrat who sells for parts the United States of America. By parts, I mean, oh, we'll bid this for Haiti. Here's how much this is going to cost. And, oh, you want to rebuild Iraq? Okay, BlackRock, that's going to cost this. And BlackRock's now going to rebuild Ukraine. But don't worry. I don't want you to worry. They're going to build it back better. Don't worry about that. Which stands in stark contrast, though, to how President Trump speaks about this stuff. But it's not just speaking. This drives people crazy about Trump. In terms of foreign policy, he was the most effective president we've had in many, many, many decades. Why? Because he's a wild card. If you're getting into a street fight, the fear of what will happen is often worse than the thing that will happen itself. And having your opponent not know where your stopping line is, that's power. That's the way to set up a fight where your opponent has lost because they're coming in and saying, hey, this guy won't stop until he kills you. Now, I'm not sponsoring that. I believe in turning the other cheek. I'm a discipled man. I try to do that. But when President Trump says this, it comes with some credibility and some believability here in clip number 5.
I will inform China that they have 48 hours to get any military and spy equipment out of Cuba. And there will be tariffs unlike anything that China's ever seen before.
What he says is believable because he's done it before. But there's something else. And I don't compare President Trump to Ronald Reagan. Very, very different people, very different approaches. But here's this commonality. Trump's going to say what Trump's going to say. Ronald Reagan wrote his own speeches, and he's never given enough credit for that. And one of the greatest Reagan moments in all of history, forever. And if you're too young to know Reagan, just know this. When Reagan went and gave the statement about, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall, which is what brought down the Berlin Wall, the State Department had written that out of his remarks 5, 6, 7 times. No, Mr. President, you can't say that. You can't say that. Reagan was so crafty. He eventually just said, okay, oh, well, okay, you're right, young people. I won't say that. I'll be a good president, a good boy. He gets on stage in Berlin, and he had his speech in his binder. He puts that down on the lectern, and then he reaches into his pocket of his probably brown suit, definitely reached into the suit pocket, pulls out his speech and puts it on top, and it had that line, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall, tear down this wall, because he was right there at the wall, and it happened. And people in East Germany were freed. So President Trump will confront these people, and I don't think there'd be Putin in Ukraine if Trump were president, because Putin doesn't know what Trump will do. He knew what Biden would do. Well, I don't know. Maybe he's done on the buy. We don't know who Biden serves. We legitimately have no idea. We know it's not us. We know it's not our interests. The New York Times made a big deal about President Trump saying nice things about Kim Jong-un, which is weird. I can't stand it when President Trump praises Kim Jong-un. He's a homicidal maniac. He's the worst of the tyrannists. But the New York Times is going after a Korean defector because she is making comparisons to what happened to her in North Korea with what's happening here. Her name is Yeonmi Park, and you've no doubt, or Yeonmi Park. You have no doubt seen her on Fox News and other places where she goes and talks about what totalitarianism is and how it happened in North Korea and how it became so bad and how what's going on in the United States, how it reminds her of what happened in North Korea. So here she is criticizing North Korea. And the New York Times is upset because she's become well-known in right-wing circles because she compares what the Democrats are doing to what was done in North Korea. How can she make such a comparison? Oh, I don't know. They're banning speech. Oh, I don't know. They're indoctrinating children. Oh, I don't know. They're literally making the state the parent, such as in the separate countries of Washington and California, where it is now it's legal for the state to kidnap any kid from any other state. You don't have to tell the parents where they're at. All the kid has to say is, hey, shoot me up with wrong sex hormones because I'm really a girl or a boy. I'm trapped in this body. That's it. And now the state becomes a parent and they're doing this in other ways. There are actual bills to make sure that parents can't find out what's being taught in the schools. And we could go on and on and on with the comparisons. But the New York Times is saying, how dare you make this comparison? You know something else they do in countries like that? They seize land. Wait until you hear what's being done to our farmers in 5, 6 states, and then wait until you understand that this can be done to your home. We'll get to that exclusively on Dana's show. It's Todd Herman filling in for Dana on The Dana Show.
our partners for this portion of our program. It's our friends over at Black Rifle Coffee. I saw there was somebody who was sharing some kind of like erroneous photoshopped image of them earlier, and I'm like, why? I always like question people's motives when they use, you know, photoshopped images to promote false narratives. I question the person, the motive, and the purpose, because it's the hallmark of the left. It really is. This is a great veteran-owned company, and they serve premium coffee, like the best tasting coffee, period. And so when you grab, like, they have their Black Rifle ready to drink coffee. I don't know if you're familiar with it. When you get a can of the Black Rifle ready to drink coffee, you're helping to raise $1 million to benefit veterans through the Boot campaign. This is a great campaign. You can make a huge difference in the lives of vets and their families with Black Rifle Coffee and the Boot campaign. It's one of the most renowned veteran focused nonprofits in the country. Individualized programs are designed to show gratitude to our nation's veterans, and they are customized to treat the root cause of the invisible wounds of war. That's what the Boot campaign does. They're like post-traumatic stress, traumatic brain injury, chronic pain, self-medication, insomnia, all of this. And Black Rifle Coffee is proud to partner with them. And they're a veteran-owned coffee company. They've been serving premium coffee to people who love America. They've expanded their staff of active duty veteran members, and they're ready to drink coffee. They got like berry mocha, vanilla bomb, espresso, salted caramel. You can get it online as singles. You can get it in 12 packs as part of the coffee club. And every can that you purchase helps contribute to making this massive donation to the Boot campaign possible. So Black Rifle Coffee is committed to serving the veteran community. And with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. So let's raise a can together. Keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana and fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of vets and their families. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
It's Todd Herman in for Dana on the Dana Show. And do get the chapter and verse newsletter on Substack. It's where Dana does her writing. Get it at danalash.com. Subscribe to that. It's a free speech platform, which is a rare thing these days. So one of the things I love about this network, Radio America, and thanks to Dana for letting me do this, this guest hosting today, is it's also a free speech network. And it's so important that we're allowed to speak freely, particularly with what's going on and the people we're up against. Let me give you some names. Bono from U2, Reid Hoffman, you won't recognize his name, it's not well known. Pierre Audemars was the founder of PayPal. You might recognize that. What am I saying about Dana's audience? Steve Jobs' widow. They're all behind an effort, funding an effort, to steal farmland. I don't know if they know they're stealing farmland. I don't know that they care if they are. And this is happening in 5 to 6 states. The purpose is to steal the land, to install underground a pipeline to run carbon dioxide and to highly compress that into a really, really dangerous form. And this is really untested. They're using eminent domain, but not in the way you normally would. You would normally go along road lines or power lines so as to be least disruptive. They're actually going through people's houses, and without even having a ruling, they're now warning farmers, we're going to condemn your land. I talked with a couple of state reps. In this case, you're going to hear from Carla Lems, and she describes what has gone on in her state and who these companies are in clip number 6.
So there's actually 3 different pipeline companies. There's Wolf, there is Navigator, and Navigator Heartland Greenway, and there's Summit Carbon Solutions. And this project, these 3 projects are basically coming through the heartland of America. They're going to be crisscrossing 6 states. So Navigator's involved in 5. Summit is involved in 5. Those are the 2 that I have the most to do with because they're both in South Dakota. Basically, what this is, in my opinion, it's a land grab. But it all has to do coming down from the World Economic Forum, from the Paris Climate Agreement, from all of that, from going for net zero. And we have to reduce the carbon footprint, you know, by 2030, or depending which date you want to go with, 2050. We want to get to net zero. So how are we going to do that? We're going to sell carbon credits. So these pipelines are coming through because of Biden's, you know, climate agenda. And actually, this started way back with the Bush administration offering these carbon credits, but they've kind of upped the ante throughout the years. And Biden really, you know, put it up there. So these companies really took notice and want to get in on this, because it literally will be billions of dollars. Representative Steve King has also talked about this, and I believe the combination of the three pipeline companies stand to make about $17 billion a year between the three of them, and Summit being the largest of those. So there's a lot of...
I'm doing a big report on this. This is my second interview. I also talked with Brandi Schaefbauer, state representative. They're trying to get the governor to stand up. By the way, if you want to hear the full report of my podcast, just tweet me at Todd E. Herman, and I'll start sending these to you so you can hear the whole thing. Because this will go across the country. If they can do this to farmland, they can do this to houses. They can do this to businesses. And you would think that Kristi Noem, the governor of South Dakota, who ran on property rights, who still talks about property rights as a foundation of her beliefs, you'd think she'd be up in arms about this. Unfortunately, you'd be wrong, as you'll hear in clip number 7.
Governor Noem, like you said, has done a lot of great things and has called out a lot of the things, the same things that you and I have been calling out, foreign investment in land, has called out ESG as a direct threat to the American economy, has signed a letter to Biden warning against the 30 by 30 land grab. And just 2 weeks ago, she was in Washington testifying before the U.S. House Committee on Natural Resources, saying a lot of these same things that we are saying about this project. And that's why we continue to go back to her and say, Kristi, Governor Noem, where are you on this issue? Because this is your issue. This is how you, what you ran on, you know, everything. But what we have seen is two of her platinum sponsors of her inauguration this year were Summit Carbon Solutions and POET, which is one of the big ethanol companies right here in our state. And, you know, you begin to connect some of these dots and, you know, there's so much money in this. And again, I don't know, you know, campaign contributions, those kinds of things. But what we do see is we look across the aisle into Iowa and even North Dakota, and we see similar things happening there. Governor Kim Reynolds, I know, has had campaign contributions from Summit and some of the players. You know, we have Bruce Rastetter from Iowa, who's a big player. And you see, you know, you start connecting and seeing the same people in the same circles. And, you know, it just, again, we've had, even in our own state, Dan Lederman, he was the chair of the GOP in our state. He was working with Summit Carbon Solutions. I actually saw him at our local county here. And I was like, early on, I was like, whoa, what are you doing here, Dan? And he was like, oh, I'm here with Summit. And so you see people that have ties. Aaron Scheibe, who used to be on the governor's, he was one of the governor's chief of staff, is involved. And, you know, it goes on and on. And now we do see Gevo as well. They are the new jet fuel company that's going to be taking taking residence in Lake Preston, South Dakota. They also are connected with Summit Carbon Solutions. And you look at the ownership structure of these. Now, Gevo, I have to point out, their three main investors are BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street Capital. Also, Navigator Pipeline, their main investor is BlackRock. So again, you have to say, where are you, Governor Noem, when you have come out so strongly against all of this stuff? Why aren't you speaking up? Is it political pressure? You know, is it, you know, what is it? And so we just want an answer.
State Rep Carla Lems from South Dakota. You can get to me on Twitter at Todd E. Herman. I'll send you both reports. On Dana's show, when we come back, you want to hear a woman lose control of a press conference? You're about to hear it, and it is glorious.
Made it harder for people to buy stabilized braces. Put a pistol on a brace, it turns into a gun. Makes it more, you can have a higher caliber weapon, a higher caliber bullet coming out of that gun.
Today is the day the Lord has made, and these are the times through which God has decided we shall live. And thank you, good Lord, for humor. It's Todd Herman filling in for Dana on The Dana Show. Incidentally, get the podcast, because I know what it's like to tune into your favorite radio show. Who's this clown? You might remember me. I sound like the guy from The Simpsons. Who's the guy who's that cartoon? You might remember me from such great infomercials as you might recognize my voice, because I spent about 6 years doing radio out of Seattle, fallen country. More to the point, was blessed to fill in for Rush Limbaugh, God rest you, Maha, over 100 times. So we have probably met via the radio. But I know what it's like to tune in and go, oh, who is this clown? So when you have Dana's podcast, and you don't have to listen to the clown, although you should listen to the clown. Then you can judge me. The humor there, the figurehead, he failed to mention the fact that when you get a brace, you can also attach a machine gun to a pistol. And that's a big deal, because you take a Glock 9 and you attach a machine gun to it. And then there's also an attachment for a chainsaw. And that's what I shoot. I carry that. That's my conceal. I don't know about you, but I like it, because a lot of times you pull out the gun in a city like Los Angeles. Everybody has a gun. Then you attach the machine gun thing, and then they attach theirs. But when the chainsaw comes out, a lot of people, they'll back off right there. Right? It's like when Biden used to go fight people with tire chains. Back when he was a lifeguard and the kids liked to pet the hair on his leg. Oh, goodness. Our demented figurehead. Is he going to have to retire? He may be headed to a place where he can't come out of this. And one of the indicators of that is what I call the "you told me in private" effect. Okay, you told me in private effect. DC understands DC. They understand that it is the job, for instance, of a spokesliar to lie in public. They get that. It's part of the game. So they understand spin. They understand lying for your boss. But when you tell them in private, there's nothing to it. And then they find out now it's a jilted marriage. Because now you're saying, yeah, but Jean-Pierre, you told me over dinner at the beautiful wine bar and we were eating the Maryland crabs, the soft crabs. You told me there was nothing to this. You told me this in private. We weren't on the clock. And I think this is part of the dynamic that's happening now with the press beginning to peel off against the Bidens. If you look, and this is from the Free Beacon, it's a great report on the 16 big revelations from the interviews with these whistleblowers about Hunter Biden. Let's just go through these and imagine at what point, when revelations like this came out against Donald Trump, at what point they would have bypassed courts and simply brought in the noose and said, stick your head in this. Number one, Hunter Biden linked to his dad to a Chinese deal in a threat to business partner. We know that. Joe Biden attended other meetings with Hunter and his Chinese partners. By the way, can we not say business partners? Business would confer that there's a product. Well, there's definitely a service, but it's an illegal service. We don't call burglars aren't performing a service for somebody. The FBI authenticated Hunter Biden's laptop almost a year before we knew it existed. Election meddling. Absolute election meddling. Hunter, now this, I thought that, I wonder if he watches Jerry Springer, because when my understanding is, if you are really meth addled, Jerry Springer makes a lot of sense to you. Jerry Springer once paid a woman who sadly fell into the habit of, or the practice of selling her body for money. And gosh, God hates that stuff. Well, Hunter deducted payments he made so that he could rent the bodies of women for his fleshly desires. He deducted that from his taxes. He deducted sex club payments. Again, at what point would the DOJ have said, yeah, we don't need a trial. We're going to shoot Trump. I'm not recommending that. I'm saying at what time would they have done it? I don't want to see that done at all. I want to see due process. I want to see justice. I want to see this stuff. I want to see the impeachment hearings in public, because that'll be the only thing that really gets the focus of the mind. They tried their Jan 6 hearing and it flopped, even though they had a television director come and try to make it exciting. So we can get justice. And by the way, God will dole that out in plenty, plenty permanent form if these people don't repent. They just will. And we all face that, me probably most of all. The FBI division that investigates foreign spies was involved in the Biden probe. The investigation into Biden had porn-related origins. Man, that stuff will twist the mind, and it would twist the mind in so many ways. Prosecutors wanted to charge Hunter with felonies, but he ended up with misdemeanors. Oh, and by the way, just contrast and compare. Alvin Bragg, the conflicted and corrupt the DA in New York, magically changed misdemeanors into felonies to go after Trump, even though both of them were outside the statute of limitations. Biden's Department of Justice blocked investigation at multiple levels. We knew that. And blocking it, by the way, they wouldn't let, get this, They wouldn't let the IRS investigators walk past the house in which Hunter Biden was staying. They wanted to do a walk-by to confirm he lived there. No, you can't do that. The IRS whistleblower's boss corroborated the claims. It's in writing. And boss said, yeah, I think you got it. He covered it all. As Daryl Walden said, yep, you covered it all. About Gary Shapley's reflections and what happened. So it's corroborated. Lifetime. Hunter Biden won't ever pay tax on $400,000 in income from Ukraine. Gosh, I wonder what Ukraine bought. Can anyone guess? We'd have to really dig into that. That's a big mystery. Agents wanted to search the Biden family home, but were shot down due to optics. There's more. But I want to get to this, because this goes to the you told us in private scenario. And it is this, that in D.C., it's inbred, guys. I know that's a gross way to describe it, but it is. They all go to the same parties. They all go to the same clubs. They all like each other in true form. There are the true believers. AOC is a bit of a true believer. I think Ted Cruz is. I think Massey is. Then there's people who are just bought, like Mitch McConnell, Nancy Pelosi. It's a love affair from afar. I'm not saying they're having an affair. I'm saying it's a love affair from afar. But when you lie to a person, a reporter in private, because in private they'll say, hey, KGP, off the record, completely off the record. Is there anything to this bribery stuff? And KGP says no. No, this is this off the record. No, there's nothing to this. I think that happened. And maybe KGB believed it. She's not known for her genius. Here she is utterly losing control over a press conference here in clip number 9.
If Hunter Biden wasn't the president's son, would he have invited someone who had just reached a plea agreement with federal prosecutors?
Well, a couple of things. Again, that's his son. He's a family member. It is not uncommon for family members to attend events at the White House. You could look at past presidents. I'm sure you have. So that is not uncommon. As it relates to anything related to Hunter, I'm just not going to respond to it from here.
Can I follow up on that?
Okay. No, I just called in somebody. Go ahead.
Yeah. So Kirby wouldn't answer James's question, though. Are you going to answer the question? Not a reasonable question to ask, but the President of the United States was involved, as this message seems to suggest, in some sort of a coercive conversation for business dealing by a son. Is that something, if he wasn't, then maybe you should tell us.
So here's the thing, I appreciate the question. I believe my colleague at the White House counsel has answered this question already, has dealt with this, has made it very clear. I just don't have anything to share outside of what my colleagues have shared, and so I would refer you to him and the DOJ. Just not going to comment from here. What I can tell you is I know that my colleague has dealt with this. He addressed this at the White House counsel. I just don't have anything else to share.
Yes or no? Was the president involved in the shakedown attempt?
Stephen, I just answered the question. It's not up to you how I answer the question. I just answered the question by telling you my colleagues at the White House counsel has dealt with this, and I would refer you to them. Go ahead.
Can you just remind us what your colleague said from the White House counsel so we have it?
I would refer you to them, and they will share their statement with all of you.
My question is about your statements from that podium.
Oh, there's a moment that we didn't get to, which is, it's a key moment, and it's my fault, where Corinne is asked, the Spokeslier 3.0 is asked, have you talked to Biden about this? And she says no. And then the reporter follows up, and it's a great follow-up. It's a really smart follow-up. Will you talk with him about this? And the Spokeslier says no. There are there's really two circumstances under which a Spokeslier does not want to talk to the principal. One is so they can say, I have no new information. None. Because if she talked to him, then she'd have to say, okay, what did he say? The other is when her lawyer, or the lawyer for that division, the communications division, the press room said, do not get any information in this. Don't take meetings. Don't attend meetings. Don't respond to emails. If you get an email, forward it to me. Do not touch this stuff, because you're going to end up in the middle of this stuff. And the we'll get to this, and we'll go through this like in detail tomorrow on Dana's program. This IRS whistleblower is naming names. That is important. Ted Cruz has called for an investigation into impeachment. So is Kevin McCarthy. This is a litmus test for Kevin McCarthy and Mitch McConnell, because if this stuff isn't grounds for impeachment, I don't know what is. The Quick Five is next with the biggest lie since Safe and Effective. And if you like your plan, you can keep it. It's Todd Herman in for Dana on The Dana Show.
Abolish the IRS. National reciprocity. She could go on forever, but she's only allowed 3 hours of the day on air to talk to you. Download the Dana Show podcast on your preferred podcast platform to take us with you wherever you go. The Dana Show.
And you can go to danalash.com to subscribe to the chapter and verse newsletter. It's Todd Herman in for Dana on The Dana Show. And it's time for The Quick Five.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So this is the biggest lie since Safe and Effective. And if you like your plan, you can keep it. So you can probably remember those lies. I personally add to that, safest, most secure election in history. What a fun test on that one. A fun test. This is really fun. When someone tells you, oh, no, that was the safest, most secure election in history. Here's the fun question. Say, oh, that's interesting. What was second place? There's no second place. Well, you said this is the safest, most secure election in history. So what's second and third? Since you rank these things. Oh, we don't rank these things. We just name these things what we want them to be. It's like fast food is fresh food. No, it's not. This has to do with states who are pretending to weigh charging you by the mile because they say fuel taxes are plummeting because, you know, we've got more electric cars and at the same time that cars are more efficient. Well, number one, they could just raise the taxes, but this isn't about that. Number two, they could charge electric cars at the charging station, but this isn't about that. Number three, they could just put the tax on tires. And I didn't think of that. A friend of mine named Mike Lewis thought of that. Because the fact is, the gas tax is a per mile tax. You put gas in the tank and it disappears, and so does your money. This is about charging you per mile and cranking up the rates until you get on a choo-choo train or a bus. It's specifically about punishing people who live in rural areas. Oh, yeah, we have to charge you more because of how you're driving. It is about shuttering us into cities and blackmail charges because only the rich should live in the rural areas. And, of course, they're going to make this based upon weather, you know, climate change, climate catastrophe, etc. The fact is that Americans, data-wise, have never been less threatened by extreme weather. But that doesn't stop the Mockingbird media from coming out and writing ridiculous headlines that people are going to die because of the weather. Extreme heat kills more people in the United States than any other weather hazard. The Washington Post recently claimed there's a lot of ways to debunk that. The number one being no. The number two being depends on how you define what's doing the killing. Oh, because they're changing a whole bunch of measures. Don't you know that extreme heat causes strokes and heart attacks, etc.? But by the way, so does extreme cold. In Rhode Island, there's a guy went out and he just keyed a car. I mean, this happens. I don't know why this is news. Oh, it's news because it's a Democrat state senator named Joshua Miller. Went by and keyed a car with Biden sucks stickers on it. Police were called to the shopping center Thursday afternoon. Vehicle's owner and passenger heard a loud scratching sound when they returned to their car. Oh, look, it had been keyed. Now, in fact, you could defend this in that they are literally saving the children from a blood-soaked car that just spews poison. Or you could say, you have a problem. And it's probably a problem of madness from your own party being installed in your mind. Speaking of that, the Michigan State House has announced a bill allowing Gretchen, the governor there, Gretchen Whitmer, to throw you in jail for words that cause mental anguish. Now, mind you, not for keying a car, which after all happened in another state, but words that cause mental anguish. Now, of course, in Michigan, this is time to do this because they've solved every other problem. Crime is at a record low in Michigan, particularly in Detroit. Wait, no, stop, reverse that. It's at record highs. Actual crime, where people are actually shot and hurt. We know what this is about. It's about shilling political speech, obviously. Or speech like this. Maybe this is what this is about. Parents and teachers have been warned and put on notice. You are not to ridicule kids who think they're animals. This is called being a furry. Well, it's not all furries think they're animals, but it's a precursor to it. See, when you give up objective, observable, falsifiable fact, that's a woman, that's a cow, that's a cat, that's a chair. When you give that up, you give up all truth. So if a man can say he's a woman, he can also say he's an 11-year-old boy, let him on the Pop Warner football team. And a kid can say, I am a cat or a dog. I know a kid who had become gender confused until they got to a school where there were kids who thought they were dogs. And that kid said, oh, this is all crazy. Yeah, all of it. It's Todd Herman in for Dana on The Dana Show.
If you had to take care of some lefty trying to outsmart you in the Walmart parking lot and missed any portion of today's show, download the latest Dana Show podcast on your preferred podcast platform.
That was great. I like that. That's a great sounder. It's Todd Herman in for Dana on Dana's program. Have you read about the queering of medicine? This is a phenomenon that we had best understand, and once we understand it, we best take action. One of the big scams in life, in fact, is that information is power. It's not. It's potential power. It's like fuel. It is potentially very powerful if it's put to use. If not, it just becomes inert. Same with information. Rots away in our bodies. Rides us anger and dopamine highs and doesn't do much. Queering of medicine is a by design. It is a process to take medicine from a observed, repeatable process. In other words, the scientific process with falsifiable outcomes. Are we helping patients? Are we doing what's best for patients? It's our job to do the least invasive procedure. It's our job to avoid outside influences in the body, medications, etc., until they're necessary. It's our job to get people off these medications as soon as possible. It's our job to make sure that the treatment is not worse than the disease. There is a pediatrician who's done a very, very brave thing in this this world that punishes free speech. Dr. Erica Lee is a pediatrician. She practices in the separate country of Washington State, which has, I say that because it bears nothing in common with the United States, as well as teaching medical students from three medical schools and interns from four residency programs. The reason I say this is brave is because in the separate country of Washington, Dr. Lee can have her medical license revoked for disagreeing with the authorities. Now, in a scientifically conversant culture, there's no such thing as the authorities. That doesn't exist in scientific culture. One of the great questions we can ask with this information, and the way we can use this information, is when people say, well, you shouldn't be allowed to trust the medical or to counteract the medical authorities. Here's the question. How did they become authorities? In what way are they authoritative? How do you know which authorities to trust? Well, I trust the scientists. Okay, how? Which ones? Which scientists do you trust? And you cause people to have to blue screen for a second and think about that. Wait a minute. Which scientists do I trust? Dr. Lee wrote a piece in Substack, which I picked up through my friends at LegalInsurrection.com, about the postmodern approach to medicine. She writes, postmodern medicine seems to have a particular foothold in the West, especially in the United States, where it's become institutionalized. It's relatively new, but embedded in multiple American medical societies and medical schools. While it leverages the same technologies as modern medicine, thereby superficially resembling it, it fundamentally seeks to dismantle Western medicine's underlying philosophy. This is a very, very spot-on piece. Because what she points out is that the queering of medicine is simply another way to tear down the norm. It's simply another way to destroy what has worked. She also writes, I wish to strongly advocate for modern medicine and urge readers to resist the ideological shift towards postmodernism or queering of my profession. It is crucial to clarify, she goes on through the disclaimers, I support LGBT, so-called T rights, etc. However, I reject the over-medicalization of children propagated by many gender activists. At its core, postmodern medicine is far removed from modern medicine as witch burning. It poses serious risks to patients' welfare and should be vehemently resisted. And this is true. And it's a spot on piece. And because she lives and practices in the separate country of Washington, her career now stands at risk. So what are the signs of this? Here's one. She mentioned the over-medicalization of kids. And of course, she's referring to genital and chemical mutilation of children. Here's a question for the postmodernists, for the queering of medicine, if you're ever in this circumstance. And sadly, if you have kids, you may well be in this circumstance. You might be in it right now. And if you are, may God be with you. Because the cult of so-called transgenderism is designed to destroy families, designed to confuse kids about their bodies, designed to con them in to standing against God in their own bodies, to make their bodies a lie. Here's a question for so-called doctors. What are the organic markers to show that my kid is what you call transgender? Show me a scan. Show me an MRI, a CAT scan, an X-ray, a blood test. Show me a genomic screening. Show me one organic marker. The reason you ask this in the face of the queering of medicine is because it can't be done. They can't provide it. Follow-up question. If I came in to you as a doctor and said, I have a brain tumor, cut it out. And you said, okay, well, before we do that, we need to run some tests. We'll start with a blood test and a non-invasive biopsy if it's in a place in your mind or in your brain where we can do that. You said, No. I know, it is my lived truth that I have a brain tumor right here. Cut it out. Well, we'd need organic evidence of this. Why? I identify as having a brain tumor. Cut it out. Well, we don't do that. They will eventually get to a point where they're going to do these things. Not necessarily the brain tumor stuff, but you think, we mentioned this in the Quick Five. You think it's a mistake that organizations are allowing kids to identify as animals. You think that's a mistake. There are elective surgeries people are undertaking to become dragon-like. I have a dear friend whose son fell into that delusion, and he is literally having scales installed on his body. He already had his eyes change and his teeth ground down and his tongue split and his skin dyed green because he was born in the wrong body. The actual application of this and how it's happening now is none. It's not less chilling. That happened to my dear, dear friend's son. A physician spoke to Christopher Rufo about these chemical and genital mutilations to children. And he said this, and specifically about the chemical mutilation using puberty blockers. One of the things I've been thinking about is what puberty blockers do to children. The medication is called, and I can't try to pronounce this, a gonadotropin-releasing hormone agonist. Okay, let's unpack that. It comes in the form of monthly injections or an implant. And because it stimulates the activity of this hormone, it shuts down the activity of the hypothalamus. The hypothalamus is an almond-sized structure in your brain. It is one of the most vestigial structures we have, and it controls all the other hormones in your body. Your sexual development, your emotions, your fight or flight response, everything. But it shouldn't be described in such cold physiological terms because your hypothalamus is not just a hormone factory. It is the system that allows us to stand in awe of the beauty of a sunset or to hear the sounds of orchestral music or to stop whatever we're doing and to want to listen. And I always think that if someone were to ask me, where is it that you would look for the divine spark in each individual? I would say that it would be somewhere beneath the inner chamber, which is the Greek derivation for the term hypothalamus. To shut down that system is to shut down what makes us human. Did you hear that part? To shut down what makes us human. The gender jackers at the Human Rights Campaign out of San Francisco, backed by multiple billionaires, one of whom is part of the Pritzker family. As you know, there's a Pritzker who's the dictator of the state of Illinois. Oh, pardon me, governor. His brother is a man who pretends to be a woman, but also says he's not human. He's transhuman. You think that Big Pharma, Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca, and the like wouldn't jump at the chance to modify people to look any way they want to look? Of course they would. And this has real-world effects, as you know. You get the common effect these days of people who shouldn't die from heart attacks dying from heart attacks. This just happened to a professional basketball player. Oscar Carebra Adams died of a heart attack while he was undergoing a stress test on his heart. Professional basketball player at the prime of his physical capabilities got myocarditis, and he said it happened after the injections. And he's doing nothing more than a stress test on a treadmill, and he died of a heart attack. That's a common, well, it's not, I can't say it's common, but it is far more common than it should be. All-cause mortality in this country and all mass injection countries is up about to about 40%, up by 40%. These people who are querying medicine, it's not just the sexual stuff. It's what does medicine mean? What is its goal? This is an approach, a propaganda that is difficult to stomach, and yet we're going to be able to have to be able to process information like this. The so-called health authorities are now telling us that 16.5 million Americans are at risk from stroke from exercising too hard, a study suggests. Well, you know what else will cause you to die from a stroke? Well, mRNA injections, but let's not talk about that. Oh, the querying of medicine. This is an ad, beautifully shot, a woman expressing some thoughts. You'll hear it here in clip number 11.
Last breaths are sacred. When I imagine my final days, I see bubbles. I see the ocean. I see music. Even now, as I seek help to end my life, there is still so much beauty. You just have to be brave enough to see it.
It's an ad for euthanasia, effectively. Now, people have that choice. I wish they wouldn't do that. Life is a gift given us from God, and I think to take it from God is theft. I think it's probably forgiven. I think it probably is. I don't know that I have biblical support for that. The querying of medicine is also the querying of what it means to live and to be human. All right, we'll lighten it up when we come back. It's time for Florida Man, Todd Herman, in for Dana on The Dana Show.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
It's Todd Herman filling in for Dana Lash on The Dana Show. You know, when I first got the opportunity to fill in for Dana, and I knew, obviously, about the Florida Man segment, I told people, man, I try not to mock people. And the team said, you know what? This is the most popular feature that we have in the state of Florida. Florida people love this. I'm not from Florida. I don't get the culture. But then again, I make fun of Idaho, where I live all the time. We make fun of one another. So to all the Floridians, I want you to know, I tried, but you guys love this stuff. And obviously, it's been very successful on Dana's show. I didn't know about this. Every time we do these features, I learn something. There's a guy, he's a transient, and we would say experiencing homelessness. That is what you say on the West Coast, and that might be true. Maybe he's not become a street person, God forbid. There's a difference between being homeless, experiencing it, and becoming a street person. Street people become attuned to it. See it as freedom. It's hard to argue with. Separate countries like Seattle, they get it pretty good. Pretty good. It's like almost comparable to being rich. You don't have to get up and do anything. People bring you food, shelter. So police arrested a man on Tuesday on disorderly conduct charges. He's yelling at vehicles. His name is Seth Frederick Thomas. He's 39. Listed his address, Largo, Florida. He's arrested and charged with disorderly conduct, second-degree misdemeanor. But this is where I get conflicted. He was waving around a can of beer that is labeled Florida Man Beer. Shouldn't there be some kind of waiver if you are, in fact, helping to endorse part of brand Florida by waving around said beer? Shouldn't there be some charges? And by the way, if there's a Florida Man beer Does that mean that Dylan Mulvaney cannot then endorse Florida Man beer because Dylan Mulvaney is a pretend woman? Does it all work that way? And how does this beer sell? Incidentally, I don't drink beer any longer because of the calories, and that's a little bit of a hang-up. But is it good beer? Oh, last thing. Can I just tell you about beer? My mom, and God love my mom. God love her. She threw out my Billy beer. I had a case of unopened Billy beer that I had preserved carefully, protected. It's Georgia Man beer. Billy beer, Billy Carter, the brother of former President Jimmy Carter, was a bit of a ne'er-do-well. So he created a beer after himself. Now, back to Florida. Cops have finally dismantled a booby-trapped meth island. Squatters set up as an elaborate camp, and they went after this in a four-story treehouse. They had a trampoline luring children in. Oh, by the way, do you know about the tie-in between meth and pizza? Oh, no, wait, we'll get to that next hour. That is not a Florida story. This act, these squatters setting up places like this, it's not unique to Florida. In this case, maybe unique in that they were luring children in. Now, gosh, why would they want children in a camp like that? Who could say? It was a treehouse dubbed Booby-Trapped Meth Island. And there's video footage. Revealed the moment where cops were faced with a maze of wooden structures built by drug-addled occupants. And it shows cops having to work their way through all this to get to the center of it to issue a trespassing notice and to tear the thing down. So these people do incredible research. I mean it. And I obviously don't endorse meth. It's absolutely deadly. It will kill your brain, kill your ability to function in terms of any form of sexual pleasure, concentration, anything. Take your teeth. It's an incredibly harmful drug. It can focus the mind for a little while before it bakes it into a fine powder. There were camps like this where I lived in the separate country of Seattle, and they would do research. They would go to the library or the internet, and they would do research. And in homes, in neighborhoods, there are often plots of land between houses that are literally unowned. The land literally has no owner. And in states like Washington, you still have squatter's rights, and you may in your state as well have squatter's rights. This happened in our neighborhood. These guys found a place that was not owned. It was between four or five houses, very nice homes. There was a way in, and once they went in locked and loaded. They brought in construction equipment they'd probably stolen. They brought in boards and nails, and they built something very similar to this. They also had perimeter cameras that were motion-activated. They had motion-activated floodlights. And the way I found out about it one day was I was driving to work and there was a guy walking along and he had a bunch of Amazon packages. And I thought, nope, that is not right because no one walks that far with Amazon packages. And I tracked him down and he went into that place and I called our local cops and they said, thank God you've called because we've been trying to find a reason to get into that place. And you just gave us probable cause because there's been a bunch of thefts of this stuff. And I talked to the arresting officers and said, how long have you known about this place? They said, oh, we've known about it for a year. They live in here. They cook meth in here. We know it. We can't prove it. And we've tried to send in drones, but they've got everything covered. We've tried to spy. They've got everything covered. We can finally go in. Oh, don't worry. That got addressed in the separate country of Washington. I want you to know it got addressed. They have legalized trespassing. Think I'm kidding? Literally, if you find someone living in your yard and they've set up a camp, true story, you can't just kick them out. Call the cops and the cops will say, okay, well, you're going to have to take this to court because by virtue of having a tent here, they've established residency. There's new audio of the figurehead. Biden asked, hey, did you lie about not dealing with your son in business? We'll get to that next on The Dana Show. Todd Herman filling in for Dana Lash. Today is, in fact, the day the Lord has made. These are the times through which God has decided we shall live, and that is the man. We're supposed to call President of the United States, Joe Biden, obviously lying about a statement he never, ever should have made. And that statement is this: I've never discussed my son's business dealings with him. That's a declarative statement. That no, I've never done that. So from the very get-go in all of this, he made a statement that cannot be believed. You think, in all the times that he and his son have gotten together and, you know, gone and sniffed women, I'm not saying that Hunter sniffs women. I mean, we know Joe Biden does that. Hunter wouldn't sniff women. He just uses money to involve himself in the $150 billion trade of sex trafficking. It's just that. That's all. I guess that goes beyond sniffing, doesn't it? It goes to, in my judgment, it goes to abuse. But in all those times, all those trips together, all those times hanging at the house, when Hunter said, "Hey, Dad, did I tell you that I'm opening biolabs now in Ukraine?" Joe Biden never said, "Well, your brother Bo was he was a chemical engineer until we lost him in combat in the Vietnam War." I'm not mocking people with dementia. I'm mocking the fact that that's another layer of this that we're to pretend is all very, very normal. It was never believable that they didn't discuss business. Now, of course, we know they discuss business. Here's something else that's simply not believable. Do you think that Joe and Jill Biden need Hunter to step up to pay their phone bills? Do you think that that makes any form of sense? Because through fantastic investing, because as you know, Joe Biden is a keen investor, they've amassed, let's see, they made $11 million in 2018, made it, as in conjured it. What did they sell? Well, his book. Oh, okay. Oh, wait, the book that earned at best $800,000 in profits, that book? That's not $11 million. It's not $8 million. Why did I ask about phone bills? Because it appears from a text between Hunter and his assistant that Hunter Biden had made himself responsible for paying he wasn't the figurehead at that time, private citizen Joe Biden's phone bill to AT&T. And Hunter was having trouble finding the account that would work. Wells Fargo shut me out again. Too many cooks in the kitchen. Too many profile changes and such. Happened 10 days ago. What do you need? I'm going to a bank in a few minutes. Need to verify identity in person. Call Joan. It's not the bank accounts. Kath now wants to use. Just insurance and loan. I need to pay AT&T. I called USAA and emailed with Joan. Okay, let's put it on auto pay going forward. Just call AT&T and give them the credit card. Okay, but may need to pay down the credit card. Ha! The guy's... He's... $10 million, $5 million here or there. May need to pay down the credit card. Oh, and nothing. Okay, I'll try. Can you send me... This is about a phone bill. Now, does that make any sense? No, come on. That can't be the case. Why would Hunter be paying a phone bill for the figurehead Biden, who at that point was private citizen Biden, or as we might say, private grifter Biden? Well, it just happens that I ran across this. Jack Davis, writing at the Western Journal, writes, a new allegation against, he calls him President Joe Biden, claims that during the time he was vice president in the Obama administration, he used a satellite phone paid for by a business operated by Hunter Biden to communicate with his son. Peter Schweitzer of the Government Accountability Institute made the allegations Sunday on the Fox News show Sunday Morning Futures. Wasn't that where Tucker Carlson worked? Until Tucker Carlson was told you don't work here anymore? Because Tucker Carlson said things perhaps that you're not supposed to say. I don't know. I don't have the inside information. I just know that when Tucker left, I left. Although Hunter Biden's dealings have been under investigation since 2020, when the content of his laptop computers made public, the investigation by the House Oversight Committee's ramped up in recent weeks because of the discovery of the whistleblower information. Yeah, it has. Okay, so why would you have a satellite phone? You're vice presidents. You've got a satellite phone, but why would you want a private satellite phone? Why wouldn't you want to be paying the bill on your satellite phone? Why would you have your sadly under the boot of meth derelict son paying your satellite phone? Oh, that's right. You don't want the paper trail. Where there's a cover-up, there's a crime. What was this about? Well, many things. The key question to me is going to be this. What did the Chinese Communist Party purchase? What was the service? Because it was not for America's best interest. Well, this is unrelated. There's a rising number of Russian and Chinese nationals at the U.S. southern border. That raises some security concerns, fighting age men. Now, why would that raise our concerns? Oh, that's right, because the Russians sent soldiers into Ukraine before they made their move. But that can't happen here. That can't be done here. We are immune to such things. And the Bidens would never take money to have our borders open. That's good thinking. General Miley, General White Rage, would never take money to put critical theory into the heads and classrooms and heads of our military members. Never. Never do that to the force for money. Why would you do it? China doesn't do it to themselves. So what exactly did they buy? It was about something else. It was about making sure that the pipeline, and I think there is a pipeline between Barack Hussein Obama. When I say that, by the way, I'm recognizing my radio hero and mentor, a guy filled in for many, many, many times, over 100 times, Rush Limbaugh. So I say God bless Rush when I say Barack Hussein Obama. That is a way of paying attention to Rush and reminding myself of him. I think there is a pipeline. Do you think Obama didn't take a rake? Joe has a sat phone? You don't think Barack Hussein Obama noticed that? What are you doing? Oh, I'm working out this thing with China. Make sure I get my percentage. You will. Right after you leave office. So in presenting that or preventing the pipeline from breaking down, the Clinton, Obama, now Biden pipeline, of course they had to win the election. And they did everything to block this story from coming out, everything to delegitimize it. And guess who else did that? The intelligence services. No, this is Russian propaganda. There is no laptop. In fact, there's no Hunter Biden. There is no Hunter Biden. He does not exist. It's a right-wing misinformation campaign. Oh, wait. Oh, no, no, no. Oh, okay. See, he exists, but he's not a crackhead. Okay, well, he's a crackhead, but he's not a sex addict. Okay, well, he's a sex addict, but he doesn't expense his prostitutes. Oh, well, he does that, but he would never tell secrets. So they were going to make sure the pipeline stayed open. How? By rigging the election. Funny thing about psychopaths, they want us to know what they're doing in advance, because what fun is doing it if you can't tell people you're going to do it? I don't know how much of this we'll get through. I don't know how much of it we can stand, but this is a bunch of Democrats telling us, hey, you know what we're going to do? We're going to rig the election, here in audio clip number 12.
Continue to think that our voting machines are too vulnerable.
Our researchers have repeatedly demonstrated that ballot recording machines and other voting systems are susceptible to tampering.
Even hackers with limited prior knowledge, tools, and resources are able to breach voting machines in a matter of minutes.
In 2018, electronic voting machines in Georgia and Texas deleted votes for certain candidates or switched votes from one candidate to another.
The biggest seller of voting machines is doing something that violates Cybersecurity 101, directing that you install remote access software, which would make a machine like that, you know, a magnet for fraudsters and hackers.
These voting machines can be hacked quite easily.
You could easily hack into them. It makes it seem like all these states are doing different things, but in fact, three companies are controlling this.
It is the individual voting machines that pose some of the greatest risks.
There are a lot of states that are dealing with antiquated machines. Yeah. Right? Which are vulnerable to being hacked.
Workers were able to easily hack into an electronic voting machine. It was possible to switch votes.
43% of American voters use voting machines that researchers have found have serious security flaws, including back doors.
We know how vulnerable now our systems were. I know the
hackathon that took place last year, where virtually every machine was broken into fairly quickly.
I actually held a demonstration for my colleagues here at the Capitol, where we brought in folks who, before our eyes, hacked election machines, those that are being used in many states.
Aging systems also frequently rely on unsupported software, like Windows XP in 2000, which may not receive regular security patches and are thus more vulnerable to the latest methods of cyber attack.
In a close presidential election, they just need to hack one swing state, or maybe one or two, or maybe just a few counties in one swing state.
So they're just coming out and saying, here's what you could do, is my judgment. Oh, by the way, I am sure, and I won't name them, because, of course, then I'd get in trouble. Not in the network, not Radio America, not on Dana Show. It's free speech zone. But the companies who make those machines, they don't like people like me. So I'll be very careful and just say, hey, I wonder if they're going to go sue those Democrats for what they said. Because it's almost like they're saying, oh, by the way, I left my BMW on the block around the corner. Keys are in it. Doors are open. But that would never be the case. Todd Herman in for Dana. The Quick 5 is next.
Catch the Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Hey, it's Todd Herman in for Dana. I do a podcast. You can get it at thetoddhermanshow.com or wherever you get podcasts. It's 2.5 hours of content every day. Content. Isn't that a cold word? No. We communicate with one another on a 2.5 hour daily basis. You can get. We share thoughts and feelings and concerns and desires. Like content. Like this. The Quick 5.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick 5.
There's irony upon irony sort of in this story. If you think about it, there was a Los Angeles police heard about this restaurant and its secret ingredients. Ha ha. And they went and found it. And in fact, what it was a pizza shop that was really cooking up THC concentrates that can be a little bit meth-like because it becomes that potent. Police posted a video of this pizza place. It was a super lab. And they were cooking what appeared to be pizza in a commercial kitchen, but it was actually batches of THC honey oil in boxes and and on cooling racks, completely industrialized. And of course, they used the same joke I just did, the lame one. We've heard of secret ingredients, but this takes the pie. Seems criminals are getting more creative by the day. From FOV vending machines to pizza making trickery, we're well aware of these sneaky things, keeping our city safe and one clever bust at a time. Yeah, it's good that they're keeping it safe in Los Angeles because we don't want any drugs to take hold there ever, because anyone who's ever been to Hollywood knows it's absolutely drug-free, right? When I was working in Microsoft back in the days in tech, I went to a party in Los Angeles. In fact, well, I was up the street in UCLA. First time I ever saw the mirrors and the cocaine come out. True story. It popped out. They brought the mirrors out, the cocaine. There were young women there. And I got up to leave. And my boss stepped up to me and said, dude, where are you going? This is the entertainment business. If you leave, everyone is going to think you're a square. I said, hey, boss, I'm not going to be the guy on the news busted for this. I don't hold with this. I don't want to be around any of this activity. I'm going back to the hotel room. He sent me a note saying, you're on notice for walking out of a customer meeting. And I actually wrote back in writing. I said, do you mean the one where it was the cocaine and the mirrors and the apparent prostitutes, that meeting? He didn't like that note and came and said, could we work this out later? I said, you delete yours, I'll delete mine. Now, meth and pizza has something in common. It's addictive, particularly if it's wood-fired pizza. New York, they're taking care of that. They want to crack down on wood-fired pizzerias, despite the fact that owners of these pizzerias are spending up to $20,000 to put in air filtration systems. So New York is concerned about this in the environment, but not concerned about the fact that, just like Seattle, there's now high levels of opioids showing up in the waters outside of New York. Why? Because people relieve themselves on the streets and in the subways. That gets into the water. It gets into the fatty tissue of the fish. So you eat the opioids from the fish. But no, let's not talk about that. Now, you can say that meth and pizza have something in common and that it's very, very addictive. That's true as well. But didn't they mention vending machines? Los Angeles is saying fake vending machines. Do you know that New York ran out of drugs for their drug vending machine in one day? No, I said drug vending machine, a real one. Yeah, it's called harm reduction. This is how you reduce harm. There was a 74-year-old man. He got arrested for stealing a bottle of whiskey from a store, assaulting two employees. Hey, why is Japan horning in on the Florida thing? You think this is going to increase tourism? I thought tourism in Japan was doing well, but you're coming. This actually happened in Japan. I didn't know they sold whiskey in Japan, but then again, that's a racist statement. I've not been to Japan, so I wouldn't know. But if you're going to go big, go big. A man used a drone to peer into a woman's bathroom. Now, can we get something clear? There needs to be a national ruling on this. When can you shoot down a drone? There was a public campaign. I live in the high mountains of free America, North Idaho. They did a public campaign saying, please don't shoot down the drones. We did a public campaign saying, but why? It's flying over our property. There is a police, a chief of firefighters upset with ne'er-do-wells in robo-taxis, interfering with firefighters on the job. Robo-taxis interfering with firefighters. Welcome to 2023. We'll come back with the big stories of the day. They admit it. They're coming for our children. Todd Herman and for Dana on The Dana Show.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on The Dana Show.
Hey, it's Todd Herman filling in for Dana, and thank you to Valen and the team and Dana and Radio America for letting me do this. Something super, super special about live radio. Weekend national radio show on this same network, and do a 2.5-hour daily podcast. You get it to toddhermanshow.com. But what Dana and the team have built here is so remarkable in terms of reach and influence, and she inhabits a really important space in conservative media with a background in writing. And if you go to danalash.com, you can sign up for the chapter and verse newsletter. And her ability to write, I so envy. It is a very difficult thing to write in that organized sense for me. And I've talked to many writers, and they say, well, it's just like building a house. You go brick by brick by brick. But a career based on that, and then her access, and the people she knows over these years and the interviews she gets, you know this. You guys are, you know, regular listeners to the show. You know why it's special. Also, the bravery of speaking truth in a time of universal deceit. There was a pride march, and so fundamental to understand something about pride and the rainbow that I think is very important. When God flooded the earth at the time of Noah and came back, and you know, Noah and the family and the animals survived, and they were told to repopulate the earth, you remember the rainbow covenant, and that was God saying, I'll not flood the earth again. And I show you this rainbow as a sign of my covenant. So it's not a mistake in that the sexual left has taken the rainbow. And I think, influenced by the enemy, has said, hey, here's our dare, God. We dare you. We're going to take the emotion that you most disdain in humans, which is pride, because pride goeth before a fall. Because it was pride that led to Adam and Eve's fall in the garden. Hey, we choose our way over God's. And we want to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil because we want to be like God. We want to, where that's our pride. So it's not a mistake that this stuff is set up this way. And it's not a mistake that pride is being made a virtue, in my judgment. There was a pride march. If you listen closely, you'll hear the participants admitting exactly what they're doing. But why? Why do they want to come for our children, as you'll hear in audio clip number 13? Like the last part about shopping, I don't think I get that, but I very clearly get the we're coming for your children, but why? What is the tactical bonus in coming for the kids? Well, let's talk about the strategy first. The strategy first, like everything else in critical theory, is to tear down what exists, to tear down what has worked, to tear down what has created the strength of the United States, which is a predictable culture, a culture based in the rule of law, not the rule of man, therefore based in predictable law, not emotion, not human desire. It's not ruled by men and therefore not ruled by men's emotions, but by laws, to tear that down. That's been accomplished to a degree. It's based upon the church. And organized faith has been a massive pillar that has held society up. And I make an argument that one cannot be conservative without, let me say it this way. One can be conservative without being a person of Christian faith. I don't know that those things are as powerful without each other. Here's why. If you're conservative, but you're not biblical, what are you conserving? Well, we're conserving small government. Okay. Individual rights. Okay. As determined by what? Well, by us. All right. So why can't it be determined by them? Well, because we're right. Yeah, but they think they're right. Well, we can go to what God created in terms of rights and structures, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. That's biblical. Right? And so is protecting biblical marriages. Biblical. Not in any sense of hatred. Can't do that. Has to be in the sense of love. Then the family. Right? Countries stand and fall based upon the family unit. And the pride movement, as it were, is about separating families. It is about tearing it down. So why do they want to come for our kids? Well, part of it is a terrible, terrible desire to erase the prohibitions, biblical and otherwise, and not just biblical. I mean, the Jewish faith is against this. I can't say the Islamic faith is against this because it's not. The sexuality with children is abhorrent to these faiths. It is allowed in Islam, as I understand it. It's allowed. It's terrible that it is, but it is allowed. So they tear down those barriers. But why? Why? What is the end game? Well, the end game is to get to kids as early as possible to say, this is the norm. The norm is that there is no norm. The norm is that you do what feels good. That what thrills the flesh is what you do. Now, if you think about this from a parenting perspective, when else do we do this with kids? Okay, so they play. Well, it feels good to the flesh. It's also formative for learning. It's how kids learn to communicate. It's how kids learn to solve conflict. Like, unstructured play is so important. Why? Because they're creating structure from no structure. They're practicing those skills. And a good parent will say, hey, homework before play. Cleaning the room before play. Responsibilities first, then play, because that provides structure. So when they say they're coming for our kids, the strategy is to destroy everything that has held the United States up. The tactic is get to the kids at a very specific age, because that at that age now, you have an opportunity to program the kids in that all things are allowed. Nothing is prohibited. And furthermore, anyone who wants to prohibit you from doing things hates you. They mean you ill. People who will not affirm you mean you ill. Not just that, they're literal Nazis, which is a phrase that we use later on as the kids grow. So this war, this battle, this culture war for our kids is so important. And thank God, and this is so hard for a concept, it was really hard for me. I had to be not lectured. I had to be loved into accepting the fact that God is allowing these people to run wild. You think he couldn't stop this? Sure he could. But sometimes God wants us to see. So he's setting up the easiest pass-fail test in history. It's right there. These people want to sexualize your kids. Do you stand with that? Easy. And of course, we will see across our country multiple approaches to this. There is a federal court, has blocked the civil rights agency from suing Christian-owned businesses over firing LGBT so-called T people. And the court said being forced to employ someone to represent the company who behaves in a manner directly violative of the company's convictions is a substantial burden. It's a 3-judge panel of Republican appointees, right? Freedom of association, correct? Don't we have that? If you have free speech and you have freedom of association, why? because we have freedom of conscience. Our conscience is our bridge, in my judgment, to the Creator. To stomp on speech is to stomp on conscience. It's on our conscience. It's one step away from saying you will not think a thing. So this is good news. On the other side of the spectrum, there's Google. And Google has been attacking Christians in the workplace, according to many people who are whistleblowers within Google, by promoting a blasphemous drag event. And blasphemous how? Well, by promoting things like the sexy Jesus contest, or the hunky Jesus contest. I want to make sure I get that right. Here's a fun litmus test. I love this litmus test, and it's almost a cliche. It's just go straight under the Google canvas. Now, please don't do this. One cannot fight for heaven using the tools of hell, but let's just think of this as a thought experiment. Go onto the Google campus and have a Muhammad was a child rapist day. Because according to the histories around the Islamic faith and according to who Muhammad married, in a different time, I want to be as fair as I can, in a different time where there were different mores, he married a little kid. Go hold that event. And don't do the hunky Muhammad thing. Just go back and recognize the history. Is this true? You're not going to get away with that. The litmus test is this. Are they anti-God? Or are they anti-specific God? Now, why would that matter? Well, because Jesus had said, hey, if you're not for me, you're against me. So I think it's the easiest pass-fail test in history as we look at all these happenings. And as you regard your little kid, your blessed child, and this gift that we have, we see them one way. They who must be protected, they who must be stewarded, the most significant responsibility we'll ever have in our lives, often the greatest joy we'll ever have in our lives, the hope that they'll live a life of fulfillment and a godly life of satisfaction and of service to others, that they'll find meaning in this life and eternity with God, that will find all that. Other people look at these kids and say, that is a screwdriver. It's a wrench. A broom. They're people who use people to get things, where we use things to protect people. The culture war is very, very real. But remember this. Paul Ryan, who sits on the board of Fox News, says he doesn't do culture war stuff because it's divisive. And Paul Ryan represents a good portion of the Republican Party. It's Todd Herman in for Dana Lash on The Dana Show. Today in Stupidity's next, if I ain't too stupid to get to it.
Whether you just want to stay informed or just hear her vent about all the ridiculousness in the world, make sure to download The Dana Show podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Todd Herman. You can get me at thetoddhermanshow.com. And it has been, it's always an honor to fill in for Dana. I'll be with you this week. And number one, thanks again to Radio America and the team behind the scenes. But also thanks to you for sticking with the guest host. I know how that goes. And so I appreciate you giving me grace because I know it can be, seem like guest host is so stupid, doesn't know these things. But I do know this. It's time for Today in Stupidity. I really want it to be true, but it's just not. That is a dynamic that people have. They think so hard that a thing should be true that in their mind they manufacture its truth. It's like when someone tells a lie over the years, and to them it becomes very, very true. Well, the big lie came out. Oh, did I say that? I'm sorry, that's trademark for the election and Trump. I apologize. I'll pay the fee later. On PBS, a legal reporter has a fascinating view about what has been done with Hunter Biden in the justice system, clip number 14.
It's fairly unusual for the Justice Department to bring these kinds of tax charges against somebody who's repaid their tax bill, as Hunter Biden has as of a couple of years ago. And it's also fairly unusual to bring an unlawful possession of a weapons charge by someone addicted to drugs, absent some pattern of violence or other pattern of law breaking. So if you look at the record and you consider what the Supreme Court did last year in upending the system of gun regulation in this country, allies of Hunter Biden and former prosecutors suggest that this plea deal is actually somewhat harsher on Hunter Biden than it might be on someone else with his background and pattern of conduct.
That is Carrie Johnson. She's a justice correspondent for National Public Radio. Of course, a taxpayer-supported entity. Some data. A former U.S. attorney, a gentleman named Brett L. Tallman, executive director of Right on Crime, did a little research. In the DOJ, there were 189,000 firearm possession cases taken by the DOJ. Not one single case of diversion in them. Not one. Well, there is now for Hunter Biden. In fact, he writes, in almost all cases prosecuted by the DOJ, less than 1% were resolved by a diversion. That's all cases. Secondly, he hasn't paid back the taxes. He'll never apparently pay taxes on $400,000 he illegally took from Ukraine. Question remains, what did Ukraine purchase? Now, speaking of the Biden family, Today in Stupidity featuring Joe Biden in clip number 15.
Made it harder for people to buy stabilized braces. Put a pistol on a brace, it turns into a gun. Makes it more, you can have a higher caliber weapon, a higher caliber bullet coming out of that gun.
Now, he's the guy that we're to call president. And we can't expect him to know all the details of something except it's been banned. And if you're going to ban something from the American people, shouldn't you be able to describe the thing you're banning? Shouldn't you be able to describe what it does? Well, he's just the figurehead. But you recall that the ATF, when they were in front of Congress testifying, they said things like, "Oh, I'm not an expert. I'm going to turn to the experts, the firearm experts on that. I'm just a lawyer. I'm just a staffer. I just do policy." If you cannot describe the thing you're banning, how do you know you're banning the right thing? Well, that's why it's called Today in Stupidity. Remember this, that we are often lectured by the left that it's perfectly fine to go hunting. Because the Second Amendment, of course, it says a well-regulated hunting camp being necessary to produce venison for the people, the right of the people to keep and bear single-shot muskets, reloadable at a rate no faster than once per hour, shall not be infringed so long as the weapons are for hunting. That's a direct quote of the Second Amendment in the mind of Joe Biden, or someone's mind, not perhaps his. The Biden administration is coming after hunters. Oh, but not their guns. No. The guns, no, it's hunting. That's what the Second Amendment is about. They're coming after ammunition. They do not want the more affordable forms of ammunition, in other words, lead ammunition. They want to do everything they can to drive up the costs of hunting. And the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has released its 2023-2024 hunting and fishing rule, a plan that intends to regulate the hunting season. And what they intend to do is to drive up fishing tackle prices across 8 national wildlife refuges and to effectively ban lead ammunition on federal land. But it's just on federal land. So at least we have that bit of comfort. Well, except for the fact that, of course, the federal government is constantly expanding what constitutes federal land and constantly purchasing more and more and more. Today in Stupidity is, as I understand it, dedicated to people who do and say stupid things. I want to reverse that for just a second. One of the greatest, most instructive books about Washington, D.C. is a book called What D.C. Gets Wrong. And this provides great comfort to me. See, God confounds the wise. He confounds them. People in Washington, D.C. do not understand us, not even a little bit. In that book, the authors took polls of D.C. staffers. Instead of polling us, they polled the best and the brightest in D.C. Staffers in D.C. think we are dumber than we are, more poor than we are, have less home ownership than we do, and have far less knowledge about what they do than we actually possess. In other words, they underestimate us. Information is potential action, only taking action. Or pardon me, information is potential power. Only taking action makes it powerful. So take an action today. Remind your elected officials that, number one, they answer to God. Number two, so do you. Number three, God sees. Number four, so do you. And we're going to demand impeachment of people like the Bidens and Garland. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. Todd Herman filling in today and this week for Dana on The Dana Show.